You're listening to KCBX News. I'm Benjamin Perper. Today we have a story that comes to us from fellow public radio station KCRW and their show Greater LA, but it takes place in our backyard. Morro Bay, as listeners of KCBX know, is a small fishing village of roughly 10,000 people, named after an ancient volcanic mound that stands like a giant at the tip of the harbor. Fishermen pass by that rock each day, and they're about to get a much taller neighbor, wind turbines.
These things are as big as skyscrapers. You're not going to drive your 21-foot boat through there and go catch rockfish. Are you out of your mind?
Chris Pavone has been fishing in the area for 7 years, along with his wife and 5 kids. He's worried about what's on track to become the first offshore wind farm on the West Coast. Approved by the Biden administration, the project will bring roughly 200 floating turbines into the open ocean near Morro Bay. It's a huge leap towards California's goal of 100% clean electric power by 2045. And though it's got local fishermen worried about their livelihood, this wind farm is coming, whether they like it or not. So how can these two industries coexist out at sea? KCRW's Catherine Barnes reports.
Stroll down the Embarcadero in Morro Bay, and you'll see restaurants like the Dutchman's Seafood House, Giovanni's Fish Market, and Grassy Bar Oyster Company. And if you're lucky, you'll get to meet one of the fishermen who brought that seafood ashore, like Chris Pavone, who you just heard from.
I've been surfing and spearfishing in California my whole life, so I love the ocean, everything about it. I don't ever want to be away from it.
He's among roughly 120 fishermen who trap, troll, and drop lines off Morro Bay and Avila Beach. He's used to having the ocean more or less to himself, but soon he'll have to contend with these turbines. They'll be tall, taller than the Seattle Space Needle, and visible, kinda. They won't be in your face like the ones you've seen off the highway near Joshua Tree. 17 miles off the coast, they'll look like faint lines poking out of the horizon. And they'll be sitting in deeper waters than turbines have ever known. We're talking thousands of feet. Walt Musiel is the offshore lead at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. He studies future technologies in the offshore wind industry. And he says these skyscrapers will be floating rather than fixed to the seafloor.
So basically, it's the same wind turbine on top. From the surface, you might not even know that it's floating. But it's suspended or supported by a buoyant foundation. And it's moored with cables to the bottom with anchors.
The project is expected to take up 399 square miles of ocean land, an area more than twice the size of Lake Tahoe.
And that's enough area to create the beginnings, at least, of a critical mass for an industry in California. And if you combine that with what's happening on the North Coast, then California can think about having offshore wind become a significant contributor to its zero carbon policies.
He's referring to another project that got the green light off Humboldt County. The need for this energy becomes even more important when you factor in nearby Diablo Canyon, the last nuclear power plant in California, and a major energy supplier for the state. It's getting decommissioned, but this wind farm will more than replace the electricity Diablo was supplying California, enough to power about 1 million homes.
The transition away from nuclear energy is a big impact to our region.
Melissa James is the CEO of a local economic action coalition called REACH. She says there's no reason why nuclear power workers can't be trained to become wind power workers.
So it's about 1,500 direct jobs and 3,000 contracted jobs that are going to shift. And so we have an energy workforce that will be willing and ready and able to move into and support the growth of this new industry on the Central Coast.
A recent Cal Poly study found this wind farm would generate at least 650 jobs and more than $250 million in annual economic impacts. But back to the fishermen. You may be wondering, why can't they just fish in and around the turbines so everyone's happy? Because since these turbines are floating, you've got mooring lines, cables, and live electrical wires draped underwater between each platform. It's too risky for a fisherman to be putt-putting around, dropping nets, traps, and fishing lines. And who knows if the fish will even stick around. Pavone says the 400-square-mile section will become yet another place he can't fish, in addition to dozens of marine protected areas out of bounds for fishermen.
It's already, if you saw a map of where you can't fish, it's like a mosaic on the ocean. You're like, whoa, so you have to go around here and go over there. Yeah, it's crazy. Right now, for me to make a really good day and make money, I'm driving all the way down to Parisma, you know, an hour, hour and a half in my boat.
He worries more displacement will lead to more fuel costs, fewer fish brought to market, and ultimately more people dissuaded from becoming fishermen at all. And it's not just the wind farm itself. There's also talk of a new deep sea port going in along the central coast to transport and service these turbines. It'll add more local jobs, but fishermen like Pavone say it'll disturb the underwater habitat.
I know the fish would be scared and they would move. So when they show up here with their big boats and their rumbling engines and their sonar pinging the bottom and trenching the bottom, that screws everything up, sometimes for years.
The project will likely get split into three parcels and leased to three different wind developers. So far, only one prospective developer has met with the fishing industry and addressed these impacts. It's called Castle Wind, and Ala Weinstein is the CEO.
We'll create a fund for the benefit of the fishermen, and effectively it becomes a revenue-sharing agreement.
In other words, if her company should win the bid for a lease, she's prepared to compensate each individual fisherman and set a pot of money aside for them to use at their discretion.
Improving safety of the boats, improving boats, scholarships, training, whatever they feel is required, including some infrastructure repairs.
Pavone and the other fishermen are happy with this agreement, but it's only one developer who hasn't even won the bid for a lease yet. The federal government is expected to open the lease auction next year, and the turbines will position the Central Coast to lead the country in renewable energy. They'll join local solar farms and what could become the world's largest lithium battery. But that's a story for another day. In the meantime, fishermen like Pavone are enjoying their quiet harbor while they can.
And this is a special place.
And making sure they keep their seat at the table when construction begins.
That was KCRW's Catherine Barnes. And for KCBX News, I'm Benjamin Perper.